Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bikepacking Podcast with Mike Rain. I wanted to talk to you today about choosing routes, and it's quite a tricky thing to do, particularly when you start out as a bikepacker. What is your first route? How do you find routes? How do you plan routes? How do you plot routes? How do you know where to go? It is a tricky subject that will take a little bit of time to get your head round. I do know that most people like to follow existing routes. Don't expect any waymarked routes. There are one or two, to be fair, but vast majority of these routes are not waymarked. Even when they are waymarked, like the National Cycle Network routes, then the waymarks are a bit hit and miss, if I'm honest. I think most people now will download a GPX file to their phone or to a GPX device and follow that. It's perfectly easy to use your phone as long as you can manage the battery life, and that part of the job isn't the difficult one. What is difficult is actually choosing the route to do. And it strikes me that people often choose the wrong route to do as their first route. There are a few routes that have been well promoted. Cycling UK are particularly good at telling you what routes they've got, what routes they've got planned. Now, I haven't done all their routes, and I will be doing the Great North Trail, which follows part of the Pennine Bridleway and links into the Anturus Moor in Scotland. So it's following routes that have been worked out and established. So I'm hoping that that will go okay. I might vary it here and there just for interest. But I have done the Chaos Errori route, and I'm quite familiar with the Curnow Way down in Cornwall. There's a couple of things you might not know about Cornwall. One is the weather's not always as good as you think it is. Quite literally, when it rains, it can rain horizontal, and the wind can be absolutely, well, let's say challenging, even down at sea level. I can remember working in Camborne in Cornwall and looking out of the window and seeing weather that I'd only ever seen on a mountaintop before, as the gale, rain-laden gale, lashed across the school playgrounds. So, yeah, be mindful that Cornwall isn't a sunny, perfect paradise all year round. It can be pretty challenging weather down there. It does feel like you're in the middle of the Atlantic sometimes. And the trail's also pretty varied. There are some little lanes. Cornish lanes tend to be quite nice, but difficult of visibility because of the large hedges which have stones in them. The tracks across the Penwith Moors are pretty muddy and not always as easy rolling as you would like. And I've read on the internet that there have been some access problems and the lizard there with landowners, not particularly encouraging the passage of cyclists across their land, whether they've got a right to or not. So probably I wouldn't suggest the West Curnow Way is a good first choice. It's also a long way down there as well. You're going to have to get yourself down to West Cornwall to start that route. Chaos Errori is a different route. It is a good route, and it's a very good route to do as a first route if you are perhaps on a gravel bike, and if you are perhaps somebody who's done some road cycling and you're comfortable cycling on busy main roads. There's three occasions where it goes on busy A roads, and there's another occasion where it's on a busy B road going uphill with bends curving to the left, which mean you're quite vulnerable on that road. So you need to be comfortable as a road cyclist on the official Chaos Errori route. The proposed route that hasn't become official yet is a better route for mountain bikes, but that's another story. I suppose the point I'm trying to make of these routes that you will have heard of that are not really good routes for your first bikepacking experience. Another one that people will do as a first route is the Transcambrian, and again, this is because you've heard of it. It's a well-known route, it's a good route, it's an off-road route. You'll spend hardly any time on roads on the Transcambrian, and you pass through central Wales. Whether it's a good route for first route, I'm not sure. It's got some good tracks. It does go through some very quiet places. parts of the country that you'd probably never realise were there until you got on this trail. My hesitation comes from the first day is through sort of quite intensive sheep farming land, so it's not, it's hard to say it's beautiful, you know, it's quite warm, quite intensively farmed. Whereas the second day up past the Clarewen reservoirs is pretty bleak. This is what they kind of call a sheep-wrecked landscape. There's not a lot of life up there, and it's pretty exposed. It's, yeah, bleak's the only word you can use, really. And you might not like it. And the third day's got plantation forests on, which add variety, I suppose, but, you know, plantation forest is pretty much the same anywhere you go. And then there's some wonderful downhill at the end, but you go down this fantastic downhill. Downhill fantastic if you're on a mountain bike, not if you're on a gravel bike. You probably walk down on a gravel bike. So you get a really good downhill, but then you've got to come back up again. So right at the end of the route, it's quite undulating there. It's three quite big days. There is accommodation. Probably better thinking of this as a second or third bikepacking route, because what happens on your first route is you're not going to get it all right. You'll look at everybody on the internet and YouTube, and you'll see what bags they're using, what bikes they're using, how they're carrying it, what they're taking. There's loads and loads of information on that sort of stuff. But you won't get it right first time. You'll have too much, you'll have too little, you'll have the wrong bike, you'll have, you know, you'll have a puncture, you'll have a problem with your gears, you'll have something that holds you up. You'll be tired, you won't be fit enough. You know, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong on that first trip. So, you know, be a bit more conservative about your choice. So you're going to say, what should you do? It's difficult to say, actually. If I start in Scotland, you might have heard of the Highland 550 Trail. Well, that's 550 miles through the Scottish Highlands, so that probably wouldn't be a good first trip. But on its way out, it reverses a lot of a route called the Badger Divide, which goes from Inverness to Glasgow. And that does look like a good first route, because it's pretty much good double tracks all the way from Inverness to Glasgow. There are bothies, a place to stay, there are shops to stop at. There's a few bits where you might have to push your bike or dance with the bogs, but by and large, it's good double track trails from Inverness to Glasgow, and a good natural journey to do. So something like the Badger Divide would be very good. If you look in Bikepacking Scotland by Marcus Stitt, then you'll find quite a lot of routes that are predominantly gravel. Most of them have got a lot of quiet roads on them, and some of those routes, perhaps down in Argyll in particular, would be great routes to do in the early days. If I move down to England, you may have heard of Lakeland 200. Well, that's not a good route to do to start with, because that doesn't only require pushing up some steep hills, it requires pushing down some steep hills. I've been on the Lakeland 300, I haven't completed the whole thing yet, and it's hard work. Even in the Yorkshire Dales, there's some good routes there. Yorkshire Dales 200, Yorkshire Dales 300, but they are quite hard work, quite a lot of up and down. But if you come from a mountain bike background, I think you'd like these routes. I think you'd like the Calderdale Divide, I think you'd like the Yorkshire Dales routes. So I think they would be good places to go. Haven't been to the North Yorkshire Moors, but I suspect that would be a good one to do early on. Peak District's a funny place. There's lots of ups, lots of downs. And when you get on the limestone mud, that's quite glucky. It sticks to your bike, it sticks to your gears, it sticks to your hangers, it sticks to everything. And that's the same down on the chalk in the south. So if you're thinking about routes like the South Downs Way or King Alfred's Way, which is another famous route, they're probably good routes to do weather-wise because they are south and east. But if they're wet, you're on this really sticky mud on the chalk, which is the same as the limestone, and makes them quite hard work as well. So watch out for that. Funnily enough, Wales is actually better when it's raining because of the nature of the rock. You don't quite have the same stickiness in the mud, and the clean rocks tend to ride quite well. I would recommend looking at Emma Kingston's book, Bikepacking Wales, and choosing something in there. And what she's done there, she's curated some really good mountain bikepacking routes with quite varied terrain on bridle ways, single tracks, country lanes, all sorts of things going on, cycleways where appropriate. In fact, South Wales and the valleys are good places to do some off-road mountain biking and link it in with some cycleways and things like that. So have a look at that one. I can't comment on the English book, but what I am saying is just think carefully about the routes you choose for your first route and make sure it's in line with what you're capable of and what you're looking forward to. The other thing you can do is just look at a map of where you live, get the Ordnance Survey map out of where you live, look for the National Cycle Network routes, and look for bridleways. And what I do is I buy a paper map and I highlight all the bridleways, all the National Cycle Network routes, particularly where they're off-road or on modern cycleways, and then I try and link those up. So that's something you could do without having to sort of travel far, and you'd be quite near to home, and you could always, can always turn around and go back home if you want. So have a look at that sort of thing. Throw in some canal towpaths, that sort of thing. If you live near a mountain bike centre, see if you can link bridleways, National Cycle Networks, canal paths with some of the runs on the mountain bike centre. You should be able to drop onto Red Runs with your bikepacking rig. And it'd be quite nice to do all that from relatively near to where you live rather than heading to far-flung corners of the country. One of the places you probably visit, other than cyclinguk.org, is bikepacking.com. It's an American website and it's got a global map with lots and lots of really exciting routes on there. But have a look, it's only the routes that have been subscribed by people who've written the routes in there. There's a nice route down on the Gower Peninsula that definitely makes a really good little bikepacking route. That's also in Emma Kingston's book, or a version of it is in Emma Kingston's Bikepacking Wales book. So do have a look on bikepacking.com and you'll find lots of inspiration in the route section there. A couple of other places to look are selfsupported.net. That has the challenge routes that you'll find across the UK with fastest known times and things like that. Obviously, you don't have to race these routes, but they're good routes, and you can download the GPX files, pop them on your map, and off you go. Another place that's absolutely brilliant for that is mtbepicsuk.co.uk. mtbepicsuk.co.uk. They look to run some really nice events, and they plan some fantastic looking routes. So that's definitely a place I'd go to. Vince Major produces guidebooks. He's done one to Land's End to John O'Groats off-road. So if that was something you were thinking about working towards, then that would be a belting place to start. Buy the book though, it's no good just taking stuff for free off all these people. Buy the book, go to one of the events, see what you can chip in. A classic event in Wales is the Bare Bones Bash. So go to the Welsh Ride thing, WRT, Welsh Ride thing at the Bare Bones website. You'll find that on the internet. They're not expensive to attend and they really look after you with a fantastic raffle, a complimentary t-shirt, there's food there and loads of bikepackers around to chat to. Just follow people when you get on that route. They'll offer you some routes that you can do. Great way to get into Mid Wales. But again, on the website, there are past editions of their big event, their Bare Bones 200, which is a tough weekend people do over the tough 200-kilometer journey people do over the weekend. So you can do it in 4 days. Make much more sense. 50k a day in Mid Wales is plenty for most people, and you can have a nice time. So just to summarise there, bikepacking.com, cyclinguk.org, selfsupported.net, mtbepics.co.uk and the Bare Bones website are brilliant places to go for routes. I've put a few myself on Komoot. It's a collection called Wales Bikepacking. have a look on there and you'll find some nice little routes, and some of them are definitely good for beginners and of interest. If you explore Komoot further, you'll find loads of routes. Catherine Bikes has got lots of routes on there, fantastic. Outdoor Active has got routes on, and what you'll find sometimes on programs like Outdoor Active is you'll find some mountain bike routes that you can take bits of and incorporate into longer journeys, going back to using the OS maps. If you plot these on the OS maps and link up the bridle ways and cycle ways, you can get some quite interesting routes in exactly the place you want to go to. Ride with GPS is another online tool that I personally don't use, but other people do. A couple of other books worth mentioning are Mountain Bike Adventures by Tom Ragg and Hugh Stewart. It's a slightly older book, so it is definitely aimed at mountain bike riding, hardtail mountain bike riding, but some fantastic routes in there. Mostly in the north, to be fair, Scotland and the north of England. But Mountain Bike Adventures, it's a red book. Look for that. That's a good one. And then Wild Things Publishing produced a book called Bikepacking by Lawrence McJanet, which has also got some routes that might be quite near you to do. Strongly recommend doing a weekend, a 2-day or a 3-day route to start with. But one of the things that's really interesting is anybody can survive for overnight. And look, you don't even have to camp. You know, you can go to a hostel or a pub or whatever. Anybody can survive a night. But then 2 nights are going to be a bit more organised. And I always think it's when you get to 4 nights where you have to get really organised with your kit. So starting off with a 4-night journey is a bit of a big ask, really. You need to do some of these shorter journeys to test what you need to take in terms of spare clothing, what you need to take in terms of change of clothing. You know, do you need a sun hat? Do you need a woolly hat? Do you need insect repellent? Do you need sun cream? All that sort of stuff. So definitely doing these things nearer to home are really wise. Will shorts work for you, or do you need long trousers? Do you need over waterproofs, or will you dry out quick enough? There's a lot of stuff to think about when you are looking for these first few routes. Some of the things you need to think about are getting to the start of your route. That's why it's so good going from home. If you can use the train, obviously that's better than using your car, but not as good as cycling from home. So have a look at railway lines near where you live. You could cycle to the station, you could get the train, and you could then do a nice loop and catch the train back from somewhere else. Mid Wales is pretty good for this. If you lived in Shrewsbury, then Mid Wales is on your doorstep. You can get the train out to Macunthorpe, and then you can cycle down to the Heart of Wales line, Llanwrtyd Wells or somewhere like that, Bulf Wells, and get the train back to Shrewsbury. So there's really good options like that. It's always a bit of a worry leaving your car. So this is where Facebook's handy. If you've got a route in mind, you want to go somewhere, then you need to drive there, then put the word out on the old Facebook pages. There's pages for bikepacking in Scotland, Wales bikepacking, Off-Road Routes UK bikepacking. You'll find all these pages on Facebook and ask people where they leave the cars, what they do with the cars. Some people talk about the parking apps. There's 2 or 3 parking apps, and they are they're quite handy, actually. We did a trip recently from Aberystwyth, and we managed to park for 4 days, well, 4 nights, actually, in the car park in Morrison's in Aberystwyth. So have a look at those apps, and you will find some good parking places. There's Park on My Drive, there's Just Parking. I can't remember what the other one's, Park My Car. Have a little look at those and see if they'll throw anything up. But local knowledge is really important. You want to be able to leave your car somewhere where it's not going to annoy anybody, it's not going to be in anybody's way, it's not, you know, people are not going to be worried about where you've gone because you've left your car there for a few days. Other things I like to look at on routes are places to stop. If you're camping, then you need to be mindful of where you can't camp in most places, but, you know, will there be nice campsites? Will there be high? Will there be water? Will there be shelter? If you stay in places, then obviously that'll dictate exactly where you go. If you're staying in pubs or hostels, so think about where you want to stay. What sort of trip do you want to do initially? Look out for forests. Forests are good. Most forests have got good access in England, Scotland, Wales, and you can use the cycle tracks through there, which gets you off the road. In England and Wales, look for the yellow roads on the map. They'll get you on the way. And I've said before, the National Cycle Network are really good routes. If in doubt, ask on those Facebook pages again, ask for advice. If you've plotted, one of the really frustrating things is you can't really look at the map and presume that a bridleway is going to be rideable. I think pretty much every road on a map is rideable, but the bridleways are not always rideable. So if you find a bridleway that goes from A to B that you're thinking about doing, have a little look on Facebook, pop the question on there, and see if there's any information, any local knowledge about whether that bridleway is rideable or not. Otherwise, get on it, and let us know. You know, you can become the expert on the bridleways in your area, and let us know that. As for planning and plotting routes on the apps, really easy. On I've used Komoot, I've used Outdoor Active. You just touch the map and then touch the map somewhere else, and the app will suggest a route for you. It's for me, I like to use the Ordnance Survey map because I can see if the routes are right of way. Some of the routes on Komoot might not be right of way. But what Outdoor Active does, it's very good, is you can plot the route on the Ordnance Survey map, but it will read routes that are on the underlying OSM map. I know it's a bit complicated, isn't it? But it'll often go a way that doesn't appear to be a way on the Ordnance Survey map, but it's picking up this route from underneath. Another really handy tool is Strava heat maps. You can get these obviously on Strava, but there's also a site called Nakarte, NAKARTE.ME. It's probably illegal, but it has OS maps on, and you can impose Strava heat maps over the top of the OS maps. So that's a really good little thing to use. But whenever there's an event on, if you don't want to enter the event, see if you can beg, steal, or borrow their app, their GPX file, I mean. So, for example, the Highland Trail 550, the organiser, Alan Greensmith, will let you have the GPX file if you make a contribution to the John Muir Trust. MBUK Epics, they give away their GPX files. So try and support them either by going to an event or buying a book. Do an internet search on how to plan a bikepacking route, and you'll come up with lots more advice. To watch out for is what sort of bikepacker is writing this advice. Is it your sort of bikepacker? Is it a person who's doing road cycling, what used to be called cycle touring, because they call themselves bikepackers now? Is it somebody who's a gravel bikepacker who's just using little lanes, forest tracks, national cycle networks? Is it a mountain biker like myself, who's got a hardtail mountain bike and is looking to get off-road, looking to get on some single track, looking to have some big climbs and big descents? And the other thing is the distance a route you can travel. In Wales, it is hilly, so 40 to 50 miles a day is a pretty good distance. Whereas if you've done some road cycling, you'd just think that was ridiculous. I would always advise being conservative with your route, not biting off more than you can chew, and also having options within that route where you can actually shorten the route if you need to. Many a times I've done that. I've put in a nice loop on a route, and either because I've been tired or the weather's not been good, or we've just had a chatty day. You know, there's three or four of us out, and we're just having a nice chatty time. You've got to think about what is important here. Is it important that you complete the route, or is it important that you have a nice chat time with a group of friends in the countryside while doing some physical activity? So be very clear about what it is you want to do, whether you want to beat yourself on a long, fast journey, or whether you want a nice time with some exercise and a bit of chat. One other little thing I'll just flag up now is a facility on Komoot. When you're planning long routes, it will suggest daily sections, and you can adjust it. So I've recently planned quite a long route, and its first suggestion came up with 21 days to do this route, and these were the typical sections for it. So I increased that to 25 to give what would be more manageable for me to do, what I wanted to do. And I'm not going to stick to that, but it gives me a guide, you know, it gives me a rough idea of where I'm going to be, when I should be, and it does give me some targets to beat or some targets to keep up to. So that's quite a nice little feature that's on Komoot. You have to pay for all these things. You have to pay for Komoot, you have to pay for Outdoor Active. Subscriptions are not massive, and it is well worth doing. There are various free apps. People talk about Mappy, which is a Czechoslovakian site. I've mentioned Nakarte, but honestly, Komoot, Outdoor Active are the big international beasts in this world. A lot of people are using Ride My Bike. I don't use Ride My Bike because, you know, you've got to draw a line somewhere. It's just another thing to pay for, isn't it? So look, folks, get yourself shopping. I would buy Wales, Bikepacking Wales by Emma Kingston to get you started. I haven't used her English book. I'm sure that's excellent too. But just at some point, you've got to go for it and get on that first route. But be conservative with your plan and be prepared to shorten your plan. Hope that's been useful, folks. We'll be back soon. We've got a couple of interviews coming up, and then I'll be starting a big journey and talking about that as well. Bye for now.